Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
I'm Tank Sinatra.
And I'm Investigator Slater.
And together we co-host a podcast called Psychopedia, which is a true crime podcast infused with comedy, making it a crimedy. Each week, Investigator Slater brings us a wild and thoroughly researched true crime case. I'm here to digest it all and react just like you probably are, right there on the other side of the microphone.
Somehow, I've got to present each case with the detail and respect it deserves, while also cracking up at Tank's perfectly timed humor and thought-provoking questions.
Listen to and follow Psychopedia on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, happy holidays to you all out there. This is The Drive. We are back at it here. Clint and Tyler and myself as well, as we're hanging out here, getting ready for the holidays and also getting ready for this stretch of games coming up here and one that's become bigger here against the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I do want to, you know, get to some other stuff. Have a little fun because I think Tyler needs to feel better after the week he's had, the weekend he's had. So maybe here in a bit we can let Tyler feel a little bit better. Maybe get some laughs off.
Yeah, it's been a bit rough, but things are looking up. The sun's peeking through them clouds.
Hey Ron,
16. Yeah.
Hey Ron. Just want to let everybody out there know, 305, in the breaks, I'm combing through some of the film. You remember the interception right there at the end of the first half?
No, boy.
You remember that one?
Yeah. We don't like that. Right,
the one where John Metchie set.
Yeah. I want to rewind the play before that, okay? For everybody that wants to take shots at Bobby Slowick right now. Bobby Slowick dials up a play. And there were three guys open on that play. One of them was John Metchie screaming over the top for protection. Was pretty good, by the way. He could have just slid to his left, slid up in the pocket. Pretty good. Average quarterbacks operate in what level of chaos I'm talking about every day, every Sunday. He could have slid up and threw it over the top to Bob to Metchie, and it may have been a touchdown if he could outrun the safety.
He's wide open, CJ.
He could have came down. Nico was on the crossing route, and the reason that Metchie was so wide open was because that half safety to that side kind of jumped down on Nico a little bit, but there was enough separation there where he could have fit it into Nico if he wanted to, but he didn't get it done. He ended up, you know, half sliding and then trying to throw it to Stover. And I think the D lineman hit his arm or something because he was trying to throw it back towards where that pressure was. So is that on Bobby Slowick? I'm just curious. Is that a Bobby Slowick problem too? I wonder if Chris Long or Chris Sims have watched that play and blame that one on the OC. And then the very next play when the interception happens, guess what? Mechie's wide ass open, missing, throwing an interception. Is that on Bobby Slowick too?
Dang it, Bobby!
Is that how do we want to look at that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of those where you just these people just spouting off and look, if somebody here's what I
by the way, also just want to let you all know that was a first down throw.
To be fair, here's what I will listen to, and I think you may have mentioned this. You had me pissed off for two segments out of three today already. But by the way, I think you may have mentioned this. If somebody wants to talk about Bobby Slowick and like the discipline issues in terms of like whatever, if that receiver wasn't where he's supposed to be, and maybe he's not holding guys accountable at practice, or the undisciplined part of the penalties, or some of those things that an offensive coordinator, hands-on offensive coordinator, actually has, and you want to say he's not doing enough, he's not doing his part, and he's falling short there, and that's why this team is losing. That's why this team is losing games. Then I'll listen to that. Now, it doesn't make sense if that is the case, why do they must listen in the first half and not in the second half, because they scored 50 some odd points in the first half. And
it's no adjustments.
Right. Yeah. I understand there's stuff there with Bobby, but the thought that, you know, bitching and moaning about the run game and bitching and moaning about not creating opportunities and not being exotic enough and needing to do this and need, I got a few things that I want to see Bobby do better to help the struggles of this team. But the thought that this dude isn't good at his job is, I'll be honest with you, man, it's just plumb ass silly.
Guys, there is only, and when we go, because that's my biggest thing is, like, I think when people hear me specifically, because I have, right, I think Tyler's, I've become a Bobby Slowick defender. That's where I am. I've become a Bobby Slowick defender.
Is that my boy Ron?
And I certainly believe Bobby has done some things to add to this thing. Like, you know, I think even though maybe you shouldn't have to, you feel like, but you got to simplify the pass protections. You have to, at this rate, know that Shaq Mason's going to tiptoe his ass out there and not run over there and get over there to cut off a defensive end that's come. So you have to combat that. All right, I think that he has done some things and waited too long to adjust to what his offensive line is putting forth in front of him and continue to try to be too aggressive. I think there are things on there. But my biggest thing is there is only one person, and you all check me if I'm wrong, text line, YouTube and Twitch, Clint, Tyler, there is only one person on this offense that is playing at the level or better than he did last year. Playing or coaching at the level or better than he did last year, and it's Nico Collins. Check that. I'll give you at this point John Metchie. Outside, because there wasn't a lot for John to have to climb up.
But Nico has Collins, got him on fire, baby.
Nico Collins and John Metchie are the only people on this offense that's playing to the level they did last year or better. CJ is not even the same person. Bobby is not coaching at the same level that he did. The offensive line, which has better players, you would think, but are worse than they were last year. Dalton Schultz, worse than he was last year. But the only person that is catching the brunt of it and you want to be fired is Bobby, right? Just like I think it would be crazy to say, boy, maybe Davis Mills needs to get a chance in one of these games, in one of these second halves. That's asinine. Like, it is wild. Nobody, it's nobody, and it ain't all his fault. No, it's Clint just dissected. We'll do a tape drop Tuesday tomorrow. But as Clint just described, there's three people open on a play.
In a critical situation, too. End of the half, man.
And he threw a pick.
Nobody three works hard at Bobby Slowick.
And then threw a pick. It just has to be equal. If Bobby needs to go take a seat, then CJ needs to go take a seat. If CJ needs to go take a seat and Bobby needs to go take a seat, then Laramie needs to go take a seat. And Shaq Mason needs to go take a seat.
Hello.
And Titus Howard needs to go take a seat.
Ron's handing out seats like Oprah hands out computers.
No, I don't think.
Your point is
spot on. That should what you just said should be a promo.
Just everybody has been worse. Like,
I can hear the promo already. Everybody has been worse. If Bobby Slowick needs to take a seat, then CJ, you need to take a seat. Laremy Tunsil, you need to take a seat. Shaq Mason, you need to take a seat.
That promo will be running tomorrow.
Within that promo, I want it to be known that I don't believe that. I don't think that shit they need to take. Maybe Shaq could. I don't know if there is an option. So really none of them should. I don't think they should. But it is crazy that you look out there and say, man, Bobby's got an offensive line that can't run block or pass block.
Nobody works hard in Bobby Slowick.
Bobby only has one running back that can run most of the time. Because Damian Pierce ain't doing nothing. Traded Cam Akers. And Dare Ogunbowale is just limited. Clint did a segment last week saying we need to see more J.J. Taylor, and you want Jerod Johnson to take over. just say that out loud. He can't run block. He can't pass protect. That's his offensive line. They can't. They can't jump. They can't stay on side. They can't. They can't stop getting penalties to kill themselves. They had Nico Collins gone for 5 weeks. They've lost Diggs for the season. Tank Dell keeps dropping passes.
Holy smokes!
But now Jerod Johnson. It's a different voice. Yeah. Bobby Slowick's Ken Dorsey now is where we are. It just blows me away.
Bobby.
Like everybody's got to get a piece of this thing. I've been talking about people losing people's job. This guy was up for being assistant of the year. I think he was going to win had the chance to win the NFL version of the Frank Broyles Award. Man, go grab a seat, man. Grab a seat.
Get a little lightheaded.
Hey, just grab a seat, let's get Jerod Johnson in here.
Tune up them pipes, and just for the promo sake, let me get Dalton Schultz. You can grab a seat.
Dalton, grab a seat. Kate Stover scored a touchdown last week.
You're gonna be left with Joe Mixon, Nico Collins, and Jarrett Patterson's all right, huh? Jarrett Patterson's played bad. Hell, we don't know.
He just doesn't have a big sample size, so yeah, he's cool right now.
And a bunch of replacements.
But he got his ass kicked multiple times on Sunday too. You're like, damn. Man, he did. Somebody texted once. How come he keeps leaving Quinnen Williams to go 1-on-1 with Kenyon Green? You think that's what his plan is? you think he's openly saying, hey, Juice, don't help Kenyon. Let's test Kenyon today. Don't help Kenyon. Go over and help somebody else. Jesus.
It is. Whew.
Every week, though.
All right, I don't want to do this. Tyler, I want to make Tyler smile. I really do.
He needs it.
I think this is unfair to all Texas Longhorn fans, because not all Texas Longhorn fans do this, but these guys, they had
possibly
to be drunk.
Possibly the majority.
They had to be drunk, because basically, this is a Texas Longhorn fan who I think had a few drinks but was duped, and maybe he's not completely familiar with the entire roster.
What was your reaction when offensive coordinator Kyle Flood said that walk-on player Moo Dang will be getting the start alongside Isaiah Bond this week?
I think he's kind of proving himself to get a little starting spot.
And what do you think are his strengths as a wide receiver?
I think his quickness is great. I think he could bypass the defense.
Bypass the defense.
You know, really quickly. So I say let's go ahead and give him a shot.
What's your prediction? Catches and yards for both Isaiah Bond and Moo Dang today?
Bond, I would say he's 5 catches for maybe 96-yard run.
Okay, and then for
Moo Dang, I would say 5, 120, 130.
120, how many touchdowns for Moo Dang?
Hey, 2.
2 touchdowns, all right. Yeah. You heard it here first, folks. Moo Dang's 5 catches, 120 yards, 2 touchdowns.
Now, who is Moo Dang?
Moo Dang
It's an internet sensation. My wife loves this animal. It's a baby pygmy hippo that has taken the internet by storm. It's pretty cute, but it definitely ain't no football player.
Come on, man. Tyler.
I mean, Mudang is cute as hell, but
I saw you and your wife running this on Instagram. I saw both of you.
Yeah, why not put the spotlight on some jackassery wearing burnt orange?
You think if they were sober,
I don't even know if they weren't that sober. I think they were just trying to sound like they knew what the hell they were talking about, and they're clueless. It was one of those situations where they were like, oh, there's a camera, there's a mic, I'm being asked about the team I'm wearing a shirt for, I better roll with this one. Yeah, Mudang will go for 5 receptions. Idiot.
I'm glad you.
He might be able to help you at Kyle Field Saturday night. You're idiot.
Forget about that.
That is a powerful idiot.
It is, man. I feel like you watched it repeatedly.
Oh, I did.
And got your rocks off.
That's the burnt orange fandom for you, man.
Our resident Longhorns fan, I believe Nick is coming for you. I'm surprised Nick and some of these Longhorn fans ain't started talking trash to you already.
Oh, they have.
Okay. I just hadn't seen this thing on.
And I love it, man. I love it. Bring it on. We November 30th, that night is going to be legendary.
But I'm going to be honest with you. You might want to watch out for Isaiah Bond and Mudang. Mudang now. he's versatile. They move him around a little bit, man.
Is he related to Luau?
Hey, he can bypass the defense, boys.
Yes, he is related to him. I got to be honest with you. I'm very proud of you, Tyler. I would not have bet you had Luau Deng.
Really?
Luau Deng, man, that's a long time ago. That's like we're looking at. I bet Luau hasn't played in a decade.
I can see maybe not a decade. Down the maybe court now on that bull red.
Maybe 8 years. I mean, he was at Duke in 06 or something like that. That one. I didn't think you were going to pull out Luau Deng. I'll give you that. I'll give you that one. All right. It's time to have another tough conversation. Another tough conversation. As we said before, how would you look at this? Do you think this team has taken a step back from last year, or do you get a sense that this is just the schedule and other things coming together and they're actually in the same space? We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
All right, I'm intrigued from people, and I know some people are, you know, and I get it. It's an annoying time right now with the Texans. But as we sit here, the Texans are 7-5, and they are poised to win the AFC South and get into the playoffs. Host a playoff game like they did last year, and they were 7-3, and now they've had a rough patch here, and it feels really bad because some of it is. Do you think this team has flat out taken a step back, or do you think it's much of what we talked about in the offseason that we tried to warn people about, and that is you got a brand new schedule, and this schedule is a lot tougher than the schedule you had last year. I know, Clint, you talked about that a lot. Now, what I talked about a lot was, hey, now teams have 17 games of tape on CJ, on Bobby Slowick, the tendencies, what they want to try to do. As we see an adjustment that the entire league has made, is they were playing three high, now they're playing two high, and not leaving just one safety up top to where CJ could just eat up the middle of the field like he did at times last year. And now there are a lot of teams are playing too high safety, adjustments that have been made. I mean, this is just, also another thing that we talked about in the offseason is that teams now take you more serious. They view you differently. Teams see the Texans, and it is we better get ready for the Texans. This isn't like last year's Texans where you feel like you may fall into a win. So I throw that out. Do you think this is a team that's taken a step back, or do you think this is a team that is really probably in the same situation, it's just other things are the reason why it maybe feels worse.
That's an interesting question, Ron, because I think there's two answers. One, I think they're the same team in a sense of, yes, they're a playoff caliber team, but they're not a real threat. I think that's a similar situation to what they were last year. But when I look at this year, last year there was a lot of overachieving, and this year there's a lot of underachieving. And I don't know that the unknown is so much to lean into. Right, last year, it's easy to say, well, last year nobody knew anything, so it really any winning at any level that early with CJ and Will and that draft class and that, like, winning at any level with D'Amico Ryans in his first year was exceeding expectations, right? And so this year was going to be different. But, like, this year I think there are real problems that are holding you back, where last year you were overcoming things and allowing yourself to have more success. So I think, to answer the question specifically, I think this team is truly worse. Worse off than they were last year, yes.
It's not just the other circumstances to you. This is a team that's taking a step back.
Yeah, it's a team that you're more talented, but yet the product pales in comparison to what you were. Last year, when the moment came, the big moments came and the lights were the brightest, you had C.J. Stroud and Nico Collins and Bobby Sloak, and all these guys were one of the best teams in the league at answering that bell. And whether it's a shootout or it's one drive to win it after a tough game, they were one of the best in the league to do it. This year, they're just shrinking in that moment, time and time again. They're undisciplined, like I said. They're not able to overcome injuries the way in which they were last year. So it's, yeah, I think this team is overall, I think the team is worse. They're more talented, but I think the team is worse.
Yeah, all right. 713-572-4610. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch, do you think this is a step back, or do you think it is just this team is facing different parameters this year, like the schedule, like teams having an understanding more of who they are and what they like to do and what they're good at doing and maybe what their weaknesses are by tape? Or just, hey, they're having to adjust to be in the hunted here on YouTube and Twitch. Ron doesn't read any of our messages. Shut up. I do too. Damn it. But no, Ron, it's not the schedule. We've been in every game. Growing pains with a side of regression is what Champ Slice said as well.
I think that's accurate.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I see some people here on the text line jumping in on this as well. The schedule did not keep the offensive line from blocking, whether it was pass protection or run blocking. The schedule didn't make them lose to both the Jets and the Titans. The schedule didn't make them get 5 turnovers from the Lions and still unable to score. To answer your question, Ron, the answer to your question, Ron, is yes, this team has definitely taken a step back. The Shanahan offense is struggling across the league in general, Gus and Katie. I would have been more inclined, Clint, to say it was more the schedule and circumstances before Sunday. I think Sunday is kind of where it changed for me. Because I thought, It doesn't look as good because they're facing better teams and they're facing coordinators and guys that have had a chance to watch them. And they got to be up in a different way than they had to every single week. Right? Like, I would have said that. But last week, it is like clear. Like, some of their guys, it was a lot worse. And I think if you could just go to individual spots, like the line is worse. Right, the offensive line feels worse than it did last year, and it's really almost unexplainable when you think about who they had up there last year in and out, and compared to what they have had this year. For the most part, outside of Titus getting hurt, and I mean obviously the Kenyon Green thing, a lot of those guys have been up there. But I would have thought it would have been outside circumstances than they have just got worse until last week, and now I think. It does make sense to lean more towards Yeah, they've taken a step back or two.
Well, the scary part about last week, I think that changes drastically the thought. I mean, I don't care. I don't know where each. I'm telling everybody where they need to land, but I think something that is more obvious now, much more obvious now than it was a week ago, is that whether you look at not going for it on fourth and short and not having that same level of confidence in C.J. Stroud from the decision makers, the game managers, if you will, to obviously the very justifiable scrutiny that Bobby Slowick is under right now, to the play of C.J. Stroud, like, there is a lack of confidence and trust throughout the group of individuals that are driving this ship. And last year, I'll argue that trust and confidence was what made him so special. And this year, it's gone. And I think after the Tennessee Titan game, I think on several layers, the confidence and trust of your quarterback in your quarterback himself, your quarterback in the system, your quarterback in what he sees, all of that, head coach, play caller, and quarterback, there has been a significant dip in trust and confidence in what each is doing and how they need to navigate a game and navigate situations. That, to me, is the most different, if you will, from this year to last year. Last year, no matter what they were faced with, man, it was confidence, yeah, and success, man.
Yeah, and you do wonder, you know, the opponents, if that had much to do with that. So, yeah, it's a weird situation. We knew coming into the season, Clint, it wasn't going to be as easy as it was last year. We knew coming to the season it was going to look different. And I don't think, Clint, you would have been surprised to say through 12 ball games they'd be 7-5. And I think you probably would have said to yourself they'd be 7-5 because you had them at 9 wins before the season.
That's right.
They'd be 7-5. And it could be a 7-5 that you felt like they're a better team than they were last year. But clearly, the way this 7-5 has developed, it has a different feel than maybe we thought it would have than it is before the season. All right, coming up, you know, we got to have some fun here with the holidays coming up. And is there something that we actually need to start taking serious as we cover this Texans team? I wonder how many Texans fans are starting to do it. Is this a conversation that needs to be brought up? We'll discuss that coming up next.
Bring on the Jaguars!
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back to The Drive. I do want to get to something we need to really, maybe, do we? Not even. I'm not even going to tell you if this is something we need to entertain. Just, I'm just going to throw the question out. Is this something that Texans fans need to entertain yet? Because it's something we need to maybe look at a little bit closer than we thought about before. But we had some fun in the first crossover segment. I'm really into this. This one got to go. I want to do these periodically throughout the show. These one gotta goes, Thanksgiving edition. You got three here and one's gotta go. And earlier,
it really brings the passion out of folks.
It does. Earlier, I said Rolls, which I'm telling you, Rolls is a sneaky one of my favorites. A good one.
Overrated.
Oh my God, man, I can just go crazy. Rolls, mashed potatoes, and green bean casserole. And yeah, you ain't lying. It brought out it brought out the emotions from people. And I got another one. And listen, I'm trying to be, you know, to be fair to culture here, to all. This is the one got to go, Thanksgiving side. I'm intrigued to hear what the boss, the way he started going in, I feel like this for me is the hardest category. This one right here, this is the hardest one. One got to go. Text in 713-572-4610. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch as well. Those of you on the 5-Hour Energy text line, text in 713-572-4610. One got to go. Macaroni and cheese. Yams. Some people make it as sweet potatoes. Those are, we'll classify them as one. Dressing, stuffing, even though they are completely different, Reggie. But it, the same vein. Which one got to go? Macaroni and cheese, the yams, sweet potatoes, or the dressing stuffing? Which one got to go? One got to go.
Man, that's a
that's the toughest one for me, man.
That's the easiest one for me
because I don't like two of those three at all.
Stop it.
No, there's Tyler. Only one of the two of the three I don't even put on my plate.
And you don't like dressing and stuffing?
Exactly right, my friend.
I'm sure you make a legendary mac and cheese. So I knew it wasn't that.
You know it.
You don't like sweet potatoes and dressing?
Never have. No.
Tyler.
No, I mean, I got a full plate, a lot of other good foods, but those just never tickled my fancy.
You make your plate and you pass up sweet potatoes or yams or dressing and stuffing.
Always have.
Whichever is at your Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
We usually have dressing and stuffing, but I don't like either of those.
Mm.
Man, yeah. I'm going to be honest with y'all, man. This is a tough one, man.
Oh, it's the toughest one for me.
I would probably have to go with yams and sweet potatoes.
Me too. I just can't say no to mac and cheese and dressing. Dressing is my number one for Thanksgiving.
I feel like whoever put this together really screwed us.
Well, I don't want to make it easy.
You gotta at least give me an out, man.
I'm trying to. Well, hell, Clint Tyler had two outs.
Boy, you do them sweet potatoes, man. You do those right.
You do them right?
What kind of nuts is that they put on top of it? Little nuts, little cinnamon.
Oh, people texting in yams? People texting in mac and cheese. Really? Angie said, you can have mac and cheese every day of the week.
Oh,
no,
wow.
No, not like that. Now, the Thanksgiving mac and cheese, at least the Thanksgiving macaroni and cheese I eat, is different.
This ain't Velveeta.
Yeah, this ain't Kraft, Jack.
Yeah.
Yeah, for me, dressing, I can't. I am poised and ready. Like I don't even mess with dressing throughout the year, so I can ride up into this. Give me some dressing and let me slop that gravy over the top of that bad boy. Oh my God! Was it put the chunks of the turkey in the dressing?
Hold on, so.
I'm telling you, man. It had to be sweet potatoes or yams. Them candy yams though, boy. That gets me, boy. That's tough.
I don't. All three of these are typically making my plate, but yeah, I would go easy with sweet potatoes as well.
Easy. Maybe one of the first three people texting in, skip the mac and cheese is a crime to flip over the table. I hear you, man. I'm with you on that. Yeah, it's got to be. Yeah, someone texted in and said, "Yeah, if those yams are done right, I can't pass them up." Now I hear you, man. I hear you from the text line, Tyler. Tyler Eggs getting their asses stomped on Saturday. What are we talking about? Nobody brought that up.
Hope you're rooting hard for Moo Dang, fella. Hope that hippo runs real fast for you.
I make a sweet potato souffle topped with candied pecans, Jay in Freeport. Hey, however you make yours.
That'd be hard for me to pass
up. That makes it worse.
No. Are you kidding me?
I don't like pecans.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, someone texted dressing goes.
You've ruined your taste buds with those monsters.
Someone texted dressing goes on salad. Well, stuffing is a sexual position if that's the case, then.
Nice.
Y'all don't tell me about that one. I don't like stuffing. I ain't ever been in that one.
Yeah. No, I hope you're not.
I don't know if I get put in that position or she does, but I ain't sure which one it is.
Well, I think now when you put it that way, I think it doesn't matter. I think, well, now that it doesn't matter, I think both plots are, I guess, doable.
But. Got that girl making a turkey call.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hey, do we, is this something that we need to start addressing or looking at or taking serious?
Or addressing?
Yeah, good one. Nice job. Do we have to start actually entertaining the Texans potentially pulling off a 2023 Jags type of collapse? Are we there yet where we are entertaining that?
Absolutely.
Oh, my God.
So you are there. Because I look at the Texans.
Well, you define it. Define what you mean by the Jags collapse. Are you talking about losing seven or straight, or are you talking about missing the playoffs?
Yeah, like the Jags were 8-3, and then just they left here after winning against the Texans last year, and they were 8-3, and they had a stranglehold in the division and missed the playoffs. Like, because right now the Texans are 7-5. They're 1-3 in their last four. Their last five games, and as you so eloquently pointed yesterday, Clint, if they can lose the one they lost on Sunday, they can lose all of these. But their last five's at Jacksonville, home to the hot Dolphins, at Kansas City, and then home to Baltimore. Those three are in a 10-day span, and then they finish off at Tennessee, who just came in here and beat them at home. By the way, the Colts, who are 5-7, they're 1-4 in their last five. Their last five games, Clint, at New England, at Denver, home to Tennessee, at the Giants, and then home to the Jags. Mm. If they were somehow to run the table, that would get them to 10 wins. Do you think we're at a point where we even start entertaining the potential of what happened to the Jags last year?
I think we should entertain it, yes. Yes, I think it should be entertained. Now I don't know, even as bad as that schedule is, even though Denver's better than I think most most give them credit for, maybe most acknowledge, but that schedule, I could see the Colts rattling off five wins. I could see them getting to nine for sure, which means the Texans need two more at the very least. And
yeah.
You know, where are you gonna find those? That game at the end of the year versus Tennessee it could potentially mean something if I hear you right. But yeah, I think
Are you ready to go there?
I'm not ready to
entertain it.
Yes, I'm trying not to be a prisoner of the moment. But when you look at like what all the issues are, I just don't know how you fix them. I mean, the defense is really good enough. The defense is good enough to win you a couple of games just single-handedly if the offense just doesn't give the game away. But being completely honest, I mean the defense is going to have to play lights out down the stretch.
Yeah, because I hadn't even entertained it. And
well, you've only not entertained it because the Colts are so bad.
Yeah, and then you kind of, and then I knew the Colts had a favorable schedule to finish. But like the loss to the Titans at home just kind of brought a lot to the table, to where you're like, hey, we'll see, and we'll see if Trevor plays on Sunday. I know Doug Peterson spoke about that. We'll see if Trevor plays on Sunday, but I don't think I'm quite ready to entertain it yet. If they lose Sunday to the Jags. Now it's all on the table. I'm not quite there yet, and I think it's because of what you said is the Colts have done nothing to really show signs of taking advantage of it what they've done. Because they're 1-4 in their last five. Like the Jets, that Jets game is the only one that they have won, but their schedule is definitely favorable. Are you ready to go there, Tyler? Are you at a point where you're entertaining that yet, or you haven't reached that point?
No, not I'm not at that point, but I'm not saying that we shouldn't be. I mean, that could be my own biased fandom, but I mean it would have to be a massive collapse, even more so in my eyes than 2023 Jags. Like that would.
They went one and I think they went one and one and something.
Yeah, but then you factor in the other aspects, just like coming off, you know, having two guys win rookies of the year, coming off, you know, just the high emotion that was all of last season for the Texans. The Jags didn't have that in 2022 necessarily, at least not to that level in my eyes. So, that would be sky has fallen, holy hell.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me, Clint, and why, like I said, I'm a week away. Why I'm not entertaining that yet is they don't have the Texans behind them like the Jags did.
They don't have that team chasing them down.
They have it's the Colts, and I don't know if they're consistent enough to do what they need to do. What you got coming up at the 4?
D'Amico did it, boys and girls. D'Amico finally did it. Texans All Access last night. We'll have that audio for you. I'll tell you exactly what he did, and it is absolute music to my ears. Finally. We'll tell you what that is, and we'll cuss and discuss next.